Sean Six from CBS Radio Boston. I'm here with who?
Dave Lombardo.
Are you still having fun?
Of course. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't.
When you look back at the amount of time that you've been doing this and about your history with Slayer and now doing something different, what do you think's been the biggest challenge so far?
Wow. That's a good question.
Because obviously you've had an established history of what you've done before, and everybody knows you because of that. But now it seems like you're doing something that is more about personal interest and fun, necessarily about routine.
Right. When you spend a lot of time with one particular band, you know, like I did with Slayer, it does become routine.
Okay.
You know, but everything I've done after, it's always been, you know, what I've chosen to do. You know, it's just what I want to do. So in no way it was forced, you know, and I've enjoyed, no matter at what level of success any of those projects, you know, God, I enjoyed,
right,
you know, being a part of it. So, I mean, challenging, I don't know. It's not, health is not an issue.
Right.
Scheduling, that's a challenge, you know.
Logistics maybe, or
logistics,
something?
Logistics, yeah. You know, you schedule, you know, shows, rehearsal, or, you know, that's always, okay, what do we do, you know? You know, I have this booked. You know, how do we make this happen with this happening? Can I fly in a day early? You know, that's challenging. That's about it.
Do you think it's kind of gotten to the point where, I mean, obviously as a musician gets along in their career, it becomes second nature. It literally is second nature for you. But is there something that you need to, or not necessarily need to, but is there something that you think about when you get ready to go out and play now at this point? I mean, you're playing with Dead Cross, you're also doing stuff with Suicidal, but where is Dave's mind 90% of the time when he gets up every morning?
Wow. Actually, you know, on some personal issues, you know.
Life,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the easy part is being in a band, traveling, you know, because everything's taken care of by tour manager.
Right.
You know, up until, you know, see, yesterday, I didn't know where I was going. It's like, are we going to New York City? No, we're going to Boston. And it took me several times to ask that question to finally, you know, for it to sink in. You're going to Boston tomorrow, Dave, okay? So, everything else is simple. But, you know, waking up and thinking about, you know, other responsibilities that you have.
So a lot of people have looked at your new project with Dead Cross as being something that's maybe a little more freeing, just as far as how you're playing.
Interesting.
It's a, you know, there's no limitations on it.
No.
Not zero.
No, there isn't. But there was a lot of other projects that I've done, you know, before that were free, at least to me, in my opinion, because I wasn't doing, you know, what people traditionally, you know me.
Right.
You know, for. But yeah, this is definitely, it's freeing. I love the musicians I'm working with. And this album is to me special. It was special when Gabe was on it.
Right.
And now that Patton, you know, came on board, it's even more special. And it's now, to me, turned into, I mean, I don't like personally to gloat or anything, but it's my personal little masterpiece.
Okay.
I love that album.
No, I get that.
You know, it's like for me, when I listen to it from beginning to end, it's like, wow, it's got a little magic.
Is this the band, the album that Dave would have made when he was 25?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was fearless then and I'm fearless now. I didn't record this album with any preconceived, you know, thought or knowing where, you know, the album was going to go or who was going to be the singer. I didn't know. I just wanted to create a body of work that was brutal. That was hardcore. I wanted to play fast again.
Again,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, because after I left Slayer and I had this other band in between, we recorded two albums, but they were, you know, a little more on the funkier, groovy, ambient side. And I know my fans, I know what they want, but they got to give me time to work my way around, you know, and come up with another.
It's kind of interesting when people start looking at a length of a career, they try so hard to create this amazing album, this amazing expression when they're young. And it's like, it's literally like it's like an explosion of artistic energy.
Yeah.
Okay. As the industry starts to get a hold of them, they start to do a little bit more, things start to level off. They start to plateau a little bit.
Yeah.
You get to a point later on in your life where that energy comes back.
Yeah.
And you're there
if
now.
If you could hone it in, yeah, you can. But there's some guys that don't, and I notice that. And I think I found, not a secret, I just need to push things a little harder and a little faster,
right,
where my body is saying, no, Dave, this is comfortable. And you can get used to what your body's telling you. It's like, okay, I'm going to stay right here and get comfortable. It's like, No, you got to push it.
There's something in the back of your head that's saying you need to do the same stuff that made you happy when you were a kid at this point in your life.
You should. Absolutely.
That brings me to an area that I like to talk about a lot, about technology. Technology really has kind of changed music a lot.
So when you
look back over the last, say, 35 years and about how you recorded before and how you made music, now looking at music and how easy it is, it's very attainable, but doesn't necessarily mean it's good by any means whatsoever. You guys did this album for Dead Cross. Really, for the most part, the idea behind it was old school.
Absolutely, with no click track.
Right.
And that was the most important, you know, I think part of recording this album was to make sure that there was no click involved. There was minimal editing. We made sure that if there was a little mistake, leave it. I mean, who cares? The albums, some of the best punk albums that were recorded, there was a lot of little mistakes that you were able to hear, but that was the magic, you know?
It was the same album that you could see at the show.
Yeah.
And a lot of people now kind of have this maybe misconceived notion about what they hear from music, whether they hear it on radio or they're buying the music and they're playing it. They expect to go to the show and hear the same thing. And a lot of times, that's not even possible.
No, it isn't.
Technically, it's not even possible.
Some people get disappointed when they don't hear that. So if you give them a little less on the record, you know, then you could go on stage and, you know, pull it off and people would be like, wow, it was better than the album. It's like, you know, so.
It was like earlier I was down the street and I was listening to Deep Purple. You know, for me, like hearing stuff like that, I kind of get lost in the moment a little bit thinking about what a lot of people say is what music used to be like. What do you think music used to be like and what we could do better now to make it like that?
I think what you can do better is to not utilize all these, you know, these advantages that you have with computers.
Right.
I mean, if you have Beat Detective and it can help the drummer, don't use it. Send the drummer to the rehearsal room, work on it with a metronome, then remove the metronome, then put him in the studio and play normal like a human.
Like you actually know how to play drums.
Exactly. You know, instead of, you know, these drummers coming in and recording maybe a few bars. Oh, well, can't you fix that? You know, come on, you're the engineer. You could fix it. It's like, no, you fix it, you know. So I would get frustrated if I was an engineer and a drummer came to me, you know, with all these mistakes. Oh, can you fix this? Can you move this around? Take this part and change it. It's like, really?
You basically want them to have the smallest kit possible and literally say, you have one chance and this is it.
Yeah.
Play. If you're a good player, then that's it. If you're a good drummer, you're going to be able to do it. If not, then, well, we'll look for somebody else. Does it hurt you almost when you think about it? Does it hurt, like, your idea of what you've strived so hard to be as
a
drummer?
No, it doesn't hurt me. I feel sorry for the musicians that are on this, you know, on this trip of, you know, recording something and delusions overproducing.
Delusions of grandeur is what I call it.
Yeah, very true. You know, and creating something out of nothing and then trying, you know, and then they try to go on stage and try to perform it and they can't.
There's no possible way.
No, you know.
So how do you think the technology has changed music in general?
I feel that when I was listening to, say, music, you know, in the 70s, let's say when I was six to 10 years old, when you would listen to an album, you can tell that there's the bass drum, there's the snare drum, and there's the hi-hat. All right, there's the bass guitar. You got the electric guitar, and then the vocals. So you were able to distinguish the parts, you know, the different instruments, and they were again organic. So you could hear what the drummer was doing. Today, let's say in speed metal, thrash metal, whatever, you know, a lot of the drummers are using triggers. Not necessarily samples, like triggers.
Electronics are making up for your lacking of whatever.
Right. And so we're listening to that. And drummers that are growing up, they don't know. They don't know that what they're hearing are triggers.
Right.
So when they try to get their drum set and they're setting it up, it doesn't sound right. It's like, no, it sounds right.
It sounds right. You just don't understand what right is.
Exactly. You know, so... So that's what I feel has happened. The listener's perception of the music is different from what it actually is, and I think it confuses them. You know, it confuses the listener.
I think that's a good point too, because when they hear raw, unabashed music, something that's not completely enhanced whatsoever, or doesn't have a ton of electronics, or even just a ton of PA behind it, they're like, this sounds like crap. It doesn't sound like crap. It sounds like what it's supposed to sound like.
Exactly.
You just don't understand what's good or what's bad.
Right. Or, hey, I don't like your bass drum sound. Hey, that's an organic bass drum sound. It's not your...
It's actually the bass
drum. It's not your boxed, you know, samples that you buy at Guitar Center.
Right.
You know, that every drummer has been using, because there's so many sounds
when you see them
that
do
I hear.
This and they go...
Yeah.
They tap the key on the laptop beside the kit.
Yeah. Or... Let's say I had to play a show at a festival somewhere, and the drummer that was on stage before me had triggers. And when you hit the drums, you know, I don't use triggers, so I'm hitting the drums. It's like, oh my God, these sound horrible. You know, I had to tune them up. You know, my drumstick wasn't even bouncing off the tom, so I can do a drum roll, you know. And it's like, how did this guy perform, you know? But obviously triggers, and I don't know. Again, there's nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong with triggers, if they're absolutely necessary. But when you're relying on that as your sound, I don't think you're becoming an original drummer. You know, you're just part of the drummers that use that machine.
The one thing that it's interesting you mentioned about music from the 70s and stuff like that. The one thing that I was kind of gathered from that experience about hearing that music was you had to learn how to be a musician. You had to learn how to play your instrument. You had to learn how to sing. You had to learn how to command a stage. You had to learn all of that stuff. Now it's kind of just, it's like an app.
Basically.
And that's really kind of sad when you think about it.
And songwriting too is obviously changed, especially in thrash. And, you know, it's become a guitar genre, you know, or a guitar band. You know, a lead is going in this section. How many f***ing leads do you need? I mean, I'm serious. It's like, you know, it's almost like it's like a rapper that has so much to say. It's like, dude,
and the leads
break
have changed,
it up.
And the leads have changed a lot, too. It's not just now. It's not gratuitous sexual lead like it is with, you know, Jimmy Page or whatever.
Or Hendrix.
Now it's just some dude that's basically playing the equivalent of math metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all a formula, and they're sitting there looking at it. Like, they might as well have a sheet written out in front of them, just going, do,
yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's discouraging, but then again, it's evolve. It's what it is, and you have to accept it. And I take a little bit of it, you know, whatever is there, but there isn't usually much. I could hear the same thing in another band. All you have to do is turn on, you know, your favorite satellite radio station. It's like, wow, is that another band?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an... What? No, there's been two bands since the other one. What?
Sounded like the same song.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm not putting them down or anything, you know, but it's just the lack of creativity, you know, and they follow a formula. Metal has a formula now. There is.
Scary.
Yeah, just
scary,
like country music.
Yeah.
You know... There's nothing raw and honest about it, you know, and so it's just, for me, it's discouraging, and hopefully, maybe one day, you know, there'll be a band that will kick metal in the ass and, you know, put it in its right path of honesty rather than hidden behind, you know, all this technology and shit that really isn't a part of that attitude.
Exactly.
Real quick, I saw a band play. Dead Cross performed on 70,000 tons of metal.
Yeah.
And there was one of the bands.
Decent Cruise.
Right. It was a lot of fun. I'd never been on one of those, and I had a blast. And there was a band performing, and you can tell that they were on some kind of backing tracks.
Right.
Because I was watching the drummer from the side, and there was this really powerful double bass section in the song. I look over to him, and he's just doing halftime, and no energy exerted by this drummer. And he's in the dark. I know what's going on.
Right.
You know, the double bass is being played over the, you know, in the backing track. It's as bad as Mariah Carey on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
But this time, Dave Lombardo watched you and just like, you know, you're lame.
So, did you say anything?
No. No, let them figure it out.
You didn't want to crush anybody's dream. You just...
No, let them do what they want. I'm a different animal. You know, that might be the new way to record or perform on stage. You know, and I'm sure those people are saying, well, that's just the style and all this. That's fine. Go ahead.
It's not your style, though.
No. But I won't mind in the future embracing something like
You're
that.
You're a fan of music in general, so
absolutely,
obviously, yeah.
You know. But if you're going to play thrash or punk, I think you have to really look to the roots and see what that's all about.
It has to be brutally honest.
Honest and fearless. You have to not have, you know, any kind of apprehension in you. You know, it has to be just, let's go, let's do it. Well, sometimes, what's funny about Dead Cross, which I love, we're just talking about this backstage, and I told him, this is what I love about you guys. We can decide on day of the show, hey, let's perform the song tonight. Let's rehearse this.
Everything's open.
Everything's open, and we'll sit backstage and we'll go through the song, you know, a few times. You got it? You got it? Okay, what are we going to do? Who's starting it off? I will. Okay. And we'll get it all together and we'll play that
night.
It's
literally that organic.
That organic.
So, last thing for you. If you had to give any advice to anybody who's even remotely thinking about being in music professionally, what would it be? Because you've been, literally, you've either been at the pinnacle of it or you've been...
I've been all over the
place. You've been kicked in the dirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Best advice? You know, learn the business. You know, you can go through this entire career, an entire music career. Oh, I'll just have, you know, the accountants take care of it. Oh, I'll just have my manager take care of it, you know. And
the who signing checks.
Yeah.
Just break more equipment.
Right.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, you know, after several bottles of booze and who knows how much weed and who knows what else you dabble in, you find yourself, you know, looking back and questioning. So, and it doesn't just happen. It happens a lot.
And it happens quick.
Yeah, because as fast as you go to the top, you know, come straight back down. And when you're coming down, you start questioning these things, you know, you can't go back. So
yeah, the slope is really quick. And when you start going down, you can't climb back after all that easy.
No, not that easy.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.